Will you please stand for the reading of the Gospel from Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 to 25. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all the sick, those who were afflicted with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, and paralytics, and he cured them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. This is the word of the Lord. Once again this morning, as we go through the sermon together, I've included some teaching notes in your bulletin, and I would invite you to follow along and make notes as you would find that helpful. Now, I recognize that I'm in dangerous territory by bringing up a divisive subject when we have people on opposing sides here today. I realize that some of you were rooting for Alabama in the national championship for college football, and others were rooting for Clemson. Now, I watched the start of the game, and then I climbed into bed at halftime. I was pretty sure who was going to win, but woke up to find out that I was wrong. I scurried to find the highlights of the game the next morning, and I listened as broadcasters described what an exhilarating game it was. But it's a quote from that night, almost 2 weeks ago now, that still has me thinking. When the game was over, Clemson coach Dabo Swinney, whom Ann Horton reminded me is actually a graduate of the University of Alabama, told the team this: "Let the light that shines in you be brighter than the light that shines on you. Let the light that shines in you be brighter than the light that shines on you." Light is a powerful thing, and I rather like the feel of the light shining on me. A week or so ago, I celebrated another birthday, and our whole family got together at my mom and dad's house. And after dinner, the cake was carried out and put down in front of me. And everybody sang happy birthday. And with all of those candles aglow, there was a lot of light shining on me. But I managed somehow to blow out all 39 of them in one breath. But how many of us don't like being in the spotlight every now and then? We love others to show us that we're valuable and that they love us. But how often do we focus on getting the spotlight more than reflecting the light to the world around us? For the past few weeks, we've been focusing on the big reveal of Jesus. And we've seen how Matthew shines the light on the Lord. The light shines on Jesus as the wise men follow the star to the place where they worship the Christ child. The light shines on Jesus as he comes up out of the water at his baptism, and a heavenly voice declares, "This is my beloved Son." The light shines on Jesus as four young fishermen drop their nets and everything precious to them and follow Jesus. Matthew shines the light on Jesus. But Jesus did not come into this world just to draw attention to himself, just to be popular, just to be famous. And as we dig into these few verses at the end of Matthew 4 this morning, we discover that Matthew shines the light on Jesus to reveal to us that God is with us. Look at verse 23. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. Now, the New Testament Greek uses several different verbs to describe healing. And the one used in this verse is therapeuon, which is the same word from which we get our word therapy. And literally, therapeuon means attending to the needs of. So Matthew tells us that Jesus is attending to the needs of those who have every disease and sickness. And in doing so, he tells us something really, really important about God. Jesus reveals to us that God is not some distant heavenly being who is unmoved by the circumstances of our lives. Jesus doesn't just go to the synagogue and preach about God's love, Matthew tells us. He embodies God's love through his interactions with every person. Now just think about what's implied by that phrase, attending to the needs of. Who has attended to your needs? A server in a restaurant, perhaps? A nurse in a hospital? A parent, a spouse, a child, a friend, a pastor, a teacher? We could all make a long list of people who have attended to us and through their attention toward us have made a big difference in our lives. And we've also had the experience of attending to the needs of someone else. Sometimes I watch moms and dads come and go from our little friend's nursery school, and some of them just look tired because children require a lot of attention. And some of you, I know, have cared for loved ones who are ill, and others are doing that right now, attending to the needs of someone requires a huge investment of ourselves. One of the great things that happens every year here at First Church is the Day of Pampering. And it's a day planned for those in our community who day in and day out attend to the needs of someone in their household. It's a day that I know many of you have been involved in over the years, when we invite caregivers simply to come and to relax and to be attended to during the day. What a wonderful ministry to attend to the needs of special people who day in and day out have such little time to care for themselves. The people to whom Jesus came certainly needed teaching and the proclamation of the good news. But what they needed most, as Matthew saw it, was someone who could be therapeutic with them. Someone who would listen and care. And this is what Jesus offers to all of us. The Apostle Paul celebrates the coming of Jesus into this broken world to attend to our needs. In Philippians chapter 2, he writes this great hymn to celebrate the incarnation of Christ. And I would invite us to read these words together. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So Matthew shines the light on Jesus, and in doing so shows us that God is with us, attending to our needs, that we are not alone. But Matthew doesn't just shine the light on Jesus in this passage. Matthew also shines the light on persons with disabilities. And he does this to reveal that God sees them, first of all, as persons. Look at verse 24. So the fame of Jesus spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all the sick, those who were afflicted with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, and paralytics, and he cured them. Now we notice here that wherever Jesus goes, those that have been hidden out of sight are being brought out into the open. And Matthew says all of them are being brought out into the open. One reason for this may be that the fame of Jesus is spreading. People have heard about his miraculous healings, and so they are hoping that somehow he will touch and heal them. But I think there's another reason that they're bringing these folks out. And that's because everyone feels at home with Jesus. Jesus does not ignore those with these various afflictions. Jesus sees them as people. And I wonder, as I read this, if you and I do too. Recently, I saw a video on YouTube that I just found profoundly moving. It was recorded by a young man whose son has Down syndrome. And this young man is sitting in his car in a shopping center parking lot just after leaving a video store. When he was in the store, there was another father there with his two sons, and one of his sons was holding a video in his hand, and he asked his dad, "What is Down's syndrome?" The movie he had picked out was a movie where a kid with Down syndrome was one of the actors. Now, this dad wasn't trying to be mean. He was searching for the right thing to say. And he told his son that Down syndrome is an illness and that people that have it don't know anything. Well, the father whose son has Down syndrome wanted to correct this other dad, but he couldn't find the words at that moment. And when he got in his car, he just felt like he had left his son down by not saying anything. And so he recorded this. He recorded, "Down syndrome is literally one of the most beautiful things that has ever happened to me. It's fun, it's brilliant, it's amazing, it's funny, it's kind, it's cuddly, it's loving. They're great teachers," he said, "people with Down's syndrome." After watching this, I looked and I saw that more than 650,000 people have watched that same video. The father of a son with Down syndrome has shined light on his son in such a way that all of us are helped to see him as God sees him. As a person first. When the Access Ministry team was choosing the hymns for the service today, they deliberately chose hymns that were composed by persons with disabilities. And I don't know about you, but I've sung several of those hymns many times over the years, not realizing the physical and emotional difficulties of those who composed them. We're all gifted in different ways. Every one of us has strengths, and every one of us also has limitations. That's what the Apostle Paul was talking about when he talked about the uniqueness of every member of the body in 1 Corinthians 12. "But as it is," he writes, "God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' And then Paul writes, you are the body of Christ, individually, everyone part of it. One of our United Methodist pastors who is bound to a wheelchair says that we need to use person-first language in talking about everyone. I'm not the wheelchair-bound lady, she says. I am a person who uses a wheelchair. My good friend Mitch, who's a pastor in our conference, who is blind and who gave campus tours at the seminary in Dayton, is not a blind man. He is a man who is blind and very, very gifted. Moses was not a slow-speaking idiot. He was Moses, a man with a speech difficulty. Matthew shines light on Jesus to reveal to us that God is with us in all of our circumstances. And Matthew also shines light on persons with disabilities to remind us that everyone, without exception, is precious in God's sight. And then Matthew shines the light on those who bring the disabled to Jesus to reveal that God calls us to remove barriers so that everyone can know Christ. In verse 25, Matthew tells us that great crowds followed Jesus from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, from beyond the Jordan. And what Matthew tells us in general terms about the attractiveness of Jesus because of his great attention to people, Mark gives us a specific example of. One of the great examples is here in Mark chapter 2, where Jesus is in a house teaching and there is a great crowd. I mean, this house is so filled with people that they are literally squeezed in close to Jesus, and people are on the outside looking in the windows, just trying to catch a glimpse, just trying to hear a bit of his message. And then Mark tells us that some people came bringing a paralyzed man carried by four of them. And when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And after having dug through it, they let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." There were a lot of people in the crowd around Jesus that didn't care. "I've got my space here," they said. "You fend for yourself." They wouldn't move out of the way so this person with paralysis could meet Jesus. But then there were those who did care. They were passionate about bringing their friend to Jesus. They were willing to do whatever it takes to remove the barrier between their friend and the one who alone could save him. In this story, Mark gives us a picture of the church. And he reminds us that we are called, like those who brought their friend to Jesus, to remove barriers. We are called to be aware of the needs of those around us and then to do whatever it takes to open the way for them to meet Jesus. And I believe here at First Church, we have been very intentional about this over the years. If you are a first-time guest here, there are spaces in the parking lot designated up close so that you can easily find your way in. If you have limited mobility, there are spaces marked near the door so you don't have to make it too far to get here. And those spaces are not just used on Sunday morning, but during the week, so that a mom can park there and bring her little boy in a wheelchair into Little Friends every day. We have an elevator so that people can access different levels of the building. We're committed to removing those physical barriers for people. But what about those other barriers? We try to order worship services so that everyone can participate. And as we've been talking about, this church does an excellent job of helping those with special needs to participate in our life together. We have teams of people like our Access Ministry team that are focusing on removing barriers so that everyone can be part of the body of Christ. There are many people with special needs that have claimed First Church as their own because as a church, we have claimed them as our own. And as we've mentioned, one example of that is the Rejoicing Spirit service that takes place here this afternoon. In a world of people seeking the spotlight, Jesus shows us a better way. He calls us to follow His example of being attentive to the needs of those around us. Every day, friends, you and I are given opportunities to be light for those around us, to see every person as a precious child of Jesus. And so may we all do whatever we can to remove the barriers so that all people might come to know the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, the healer of brokenness, the Savior of the world.